I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. In the heat of the current presidential campaign in the United States, it's a great time to look back a bit with the historian Alfred J. Zacher. He's just published Presidential Power in Troubled Second Terms. A previous version of the book came out in 1996 called Trial and Triumph, Presidential Power in the Second Term. It was much discussed. Even President Clinton at the time had talked about it in the press. We'll ask Mr. Zacher about what happens to presidents in their second term, and we'll talk about this current campaign and see what Barack Obama faces if he gets reelected in November. Alfred Zacher has studied social movements and political trends for over 40 years. He's been featured on The Today Show, Chris Matthews, and C-SPAN. This book is published by Telemachus Press. The website for more is at presidentialsecondterms.com. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Alfred Zacher. Mr. Zacher, good morning.
I'm pleased to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. Are you in Indiana this morning?
Yes, I am.
How does that state look in terms of the campaign? I guess, is that a red state or a blue state?
Well, it has typically been a red state, famous for Richard Nixon's turning the state red, the first one back then when that was on national television. But the state did go for Obama, surprisingly, and this time it's expected to go for Romney. And we have a senatorial election, which we won't go into it now, which could be one of those that could go either way.
Mm-hmm. Now, as I told you before we started, I'd actually read the first book. I guess I read it in high school. It was in the late 90s. It came out in 96, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. What got you interested in looking at the presidency, and what happens to those men in their second term?
Well, it's interesting. I discovered that Thomas Jefferson had a difficult second term, which, of course, surprised me because one thinks of him as being this great president. And I'm old enough to remember Franklin Roosevelt's difficult second term. We observed Richard Nixon resigning, Lyndon Johnson having trouble. I wonder what's going on here. So I began an 8-year study of each president elected to a second term to see what in the world's going on. Is there some conclusion I could draw? And finally completed the study and drew the conclusion.
And so the conclusion that you came up to is that they're not as good as the first term.
Oh, well, of course, I feel that only 7 out of 19 elected had second terms that could be called successful. The rest had either trouble or literally failed second term, which is about a 38% success rate. Pretty questionable.
So what happens then? I mean, is that fatigue, do you think? Is it because they're lame ducks?
No. Of course, the dominant reason that presidents suffered troubled second terms is the inability to get along with Congress. And from the time of George Washington's days, Congress has attempted to be the dominant branch of government. And frequently it had no relevance whether it was the same party or opposing party. Washington had trouble at the beginning of the whole affair over the Jay Treaty. And he was clever enough to go to Congress, to work personally with them, and solve the problem, and won this great hero, won by just a few votes, so that there's nothing unusual about the conflict, the desire of Congress, if you will, to be the dominant branch. And those presidents who can't figure out how to cope with that situation will have the majority. That's the majority reason for presidents to have troubled second terms.
You mentioned that Senate race in your home state of Indiana. Does it look like, let's say President Obama is reelected in November. Does it look like the Congress will go for the other party?
Oh, you mean in our state?
Well, no, just in the United States in general. Like, do you think the Senate and the Congress?
Oh, I think obviously the only question, the House will be Republican dominated. The only question is whether or not the Republicans take the Senate. And it's close enough that no one, I don't know anyone who's predicting the results of that election. And, of course, there's always a filibuster standing there, but not having... Obama's going to have a very difficult time were he reelected under the best of circumstances, because compromise is no longer thought of in today's world and right. in our political world as something that one thinks can occur. Well, if you don't mind, when Harry Truman was attempting to save Europe with the Marshall Plan, it was one senator who turned around a very, very conservative Congress. That was Vandenberg of Michigan, uh-huh. a staunch old conservative Republican who changed his mind. If it had not been for him, we wouldn't have had the Marshall Plan to save Europe. So that the idea of a very conservative Congress that just isn't going to cooperate, there's nothing really new about that. And, of course, the famous example of not cooperating is when the Democrats, in this case, refused to go along with Lincoln, and they seceded from the Union and wouldn't stay in the Union with Lincoln as president. And that's your example of not cooperating.
Yeah, you mentioned Lincoln. I guess he ranks in these factors, the six factors of effectiveness. You've ranked these presidents who've been elected to a second term, and he comes out on top, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Washington and Lincoln both do very well. It's forgive me for jumping from Lincoln to Washington.
Yeah, sure.
He really is a remarkable figure in history that we sort of treat him as this kindly old gentleman sort of thing, and isn't he good-looking sort of thing on the wall of schools. But my God, he invented the presidency. There was no democracies in the world, and he knew that the office needed a certain amount of prestige, but he, like Lincoln later on, had opposing political positions in his party, in his cabinet, forgive me, mm-hmm. and worked well with Jefferson and Hamilton both, with hugely opposing views in his cabinet, and knew he believed in that. He thought they both had arguments that had validity, but he was the final judge. And, famously, left office after two terms. As he could have stayed on and on as a monarch, and set the pattern for the presidency until Roosevelt's day.
Are the gifts that Lincoln and Washington have in terms of their effectiveness as president, because they are from different centuries, can they be translated to today? Like, do you think candidate presidents of today can...
I have a couple of conclusions, and one is that the presidency has changed, and I don't know anyone else who'd agree with me, but I sort of fearlessly assert that the president must be able to communicate. Washington and Lincoln both did, each with the media of their day, or their method was theirs. Washington, of course, used the newspaper, the press, which was sort of new to its time. Lincoln was a great public speaker. And by the way, Washington spoke before Congress, and very important, very persuasive speeches. And Lincoln did the same thing. They communicated. They understood each of them understood the importance of defense of the nation. You remember Washington said, "Don't get involved in wars in Europe." Mm-hmm. And of course, Lincoln fought a big war. Mm-hmm. And also was very involved with the economy of the country, encouraged the railroads to be extended across the country, the land grant for colleges, that was his program, and the act where so many people could, farmers could pick up property, and it was, both of them really fulfilled the major requirements of a president.
Now, the original book had come out in 1996, and then this new book has been updated. There are a couple of chapters here. I guess the presidency of George W. Bush is discussed, I guess, as well as the end of the Clinton presidency. Did your assessment of these presidents, did they change any time from the first book?
Okay, well, of course, that's a fair question. In other words, did I, in reviewing the chapters, all of the chapters that were there prior to finally including Clinton and Bush, did I change anything? Or the answer is I felt quite satisfied with them. And in reviewing, of course, I had a lot of people edit the two chapters, and I felt very good about Bill Clinton's chapter. George Bush, I think, is the more difficult one. I try to be very, very non-political. That is, I don't take a stand. I don't want the public to feel that they know where what my politics are. And with George W., I was very careful to take a pretty center-of-the-road view of where he was successful and where he was not. And Bill Clinton was a little easier on that point than Bush was.
Do you think over time, though, the assessments that you have of say, Nixon, Coolidge, Johnson, even George W. Bush, that they could change?
Okay, and of course, the classic example of at that time versus later is Harry Truman.
Correct.
He left office with one of the lowest popularity ratings of any president and now is revered. Clinton left office with maybe the highest rating of any president, including, the Roosevelt and Reagan. Of course, Nixon will not pull out of the problems he had because of Watergate, because of resigning. But people do look back on some of his policies, some of his relations with China. He enacted almost as many liberal legislations as Lyndon Johnson, which the conservatives are quite upset about. And of course, George W. Bush, he's going to... What finally happens with the two wars will be what will determine the effectiveness of George W. Bush. If Iraq turns a total ally of Iran's, if Afghanistan were to become a satellite of Iran as well, or we continue to lose even more military men there, and at some point it could reflect badly on George W. Bush.
The other thing that one realizes as we read your book and we think of the presidency, the true character of a president emerges in the second term. Now, let's take the two recent examples of Obama and George W. Bush. Do you think that's the same in their case, that the true character, say, of Barack Obama has not come out yet?
Well, I think the interesting thing about that is a recent article in the Sunday New York Times just a couple of weeks ago, in which it, and of all places, the Times, which is a strong supporter of the president, pointed out about his tremendous ego, his arrogance, and his firm commitment to winning in all things. So I think the real challenge for him and for the country, were he reelected, you talked about character, and I'm just finishing a paper right now I'm giving tomorrow night, and that to me is the key issue for him. When you see that Eisenhower worked with the opposing party, Lyndon Johnson, when Reagan worked with the opposing party, Tip O'Neill, they somehow gave up some of their ego, of their desire for power and so forth, when you do that, and one hasn't detected that quality of nature, of character with Obama. It doesn't suit him. And so that for him to have an effective second term, he'll have enough problems with the very conservative with Congress. But add to that a president who isn't willing to lose or appear to, and you get a Congress that's just laying for him. Isn't it true that in most competitive sports, one of the great joys of winning is someone who doesn't want to lose?
Mm-hmm.
It's a double victory, and it's a little worrisome. So. And interesting, Bill Clinton used Erskine Bowles in his second term as his intermediary with Congress. Erskine Bowles was the reason that Bill Clinton's legislation was as effective as it was during his second term. And my hope is that Barack Obama will recognize the need in his character for utilizing someone else of Erskine Bowles' nature. That is, it isn't just someone. He can't have another combative person,
mm-hmm.
as he did with his first chief of staff, to work with the Congress that's going to stand up to him.
Moving on to contemporary politics, Alfred, how much of this current campaign and the success of the president against Governor Romney could be... blamed on say his popularity, the popularity of Obama and his policies, as opposed to say how Romney has run his campaign, which by all accounts has been rather poor.
Oh my, what a tough one!
Yeah.
that is, it's tough on Romney, and yet one has to accept the premise you're raising. I think Romney is handing an awful lot of popularity, of acceptance, if you will, of Obama. Suddenly, I think there are an awful lot of people who still are not satisfied with Obama, who supported him, who would have liked a stronger leader, someone who has the charisma of a leader, not of a college professor, which is really a lot of what Obama appears. But my golly, Romney has has handed him, I think, a lot of support.
Yeah. And are there things, having looked at the presidencies you have in these books of yours, is there anything that Obama can do, and you mentioned sort of having a good liaison with Congress, that he can have a successful second term if he's elected in November?
Oh, I of course, you might think of you could argue that the final judgment will be how well the economy does. And it seems pretty clearly that we are in a secular struggling time in which deficits are being worked out. People are paying down their obligations. Their homes aren't worth as much, so they're struggling. And so are governments, state, federal. So that the chances of the economy really thriving during a second term or the next term for Romney are not real great. So that his success is going to have to be in coming up with some creative new programs for jobs and for working on the deficit and the debt. And having the nation having a sense that he has achieved important inroads into solving the problems, that he's their guy, so to speak, and he has achieved significant accomplishments. That's the best he could do. But that won't be easy.
Well, Alfred, were there any great presidents who were elected just to one term?
Oh, my. Okay, that's fair. yeah, James Polk is a classic example. Everyone recites that. He's the one who came into office and said he's going to stay for one term, and he fought the Mexican War and ended up with California and all those states and solved the got portions of Oregon and Washington, and by golly, he left the country about it increased as much or more than the Louisiana Purchase did.
And having written these two books now followed the presidency as you have over the years, it seems to me that you've really enjoyed it. Have you?
Oh, yeah. That was great fun. I never found writer's block at all during the years, and it was a labor of love and just real great experience for me.
Alfred, it's been a great pleasure talking today. Continued good luck with the book.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. The website for more, presidentialsecondterms.com. The book is called Presidential Power in Troubled Second Terms. Telemachus Press is the publisher of the book. Alfred J. Zacher, its author, on the line from Fort Wayne, Indiana, in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plato.